This morning's devotional, I've entitled it, A Time for New Vision. Not that there's a change of vision necessarily, but there's certainly greater clarity. Sometimes there's a new direction that is released. If you would turn to Joshua 7, I'm going to read the entire chapter. It doesn't take very long. The main thrust, though, is going to be out of Philippians chapter 3. But this is going to conclude our series on the journey of faith. Not that it ends here. It certainly didn't for Israel. But we've done since the new year. This is the 14th in this series. Is we have walked with Israel through the whole journey of getting now into Canaan's land, which is not, Canaan is not a picture of heaven. Crossing the Jordan and entering into Canaan was where we're to be. We're to be in a place of occupy until the Lord comes. Canaan had fortified cities and armies. It had false worship. It had all kinds of situations that Israel was to deal with. And as you read through the scripture, God said to Israel, I'm not going to give the land to you quickly, because if I give it to you quickly and you drive out the residents in a quick manner, the beasts will take over the land and you won't be able to overcome the beasts. He says, it'll be a process. And so it is for you and I. We're in a process of occupying for God. And in that process of taking possession and expanding God's kingdom on his behalf, there's sometimes a clear change in vision. There's an expansion of vision, a refinement of vision, greater clarity. And that all happens. We saw last week, they were asked to defeat the city of Jericho, a walled city. Archaeologists tell us that it was a thick wall. An archaeologist found it in the 30s. I gave you the reference in the bulletin notes. And the evidence was clear. The city walls had fallen outward, not inward. If it had fallen inward, then the word of God would not have been able to be fulfilled. He said that they would enter the city of Jericho walking upright. But if the walls fell in, there'd be all this rubble you had to climb over. They fell out. So it wasn't an outward force pushing in. It was God on the inside pushing the walls out, and they walked in upright. Now they're to go and take a very small little place called Ai, or perhaps the Jews would call it Ai, because they decided they could go and take it with 3,000 men, and they got whooped. And that takes us kind of to where we are this morning for this portion. But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things of Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, east of Bethel, and said to them, go up and spy out the land. And the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned by to Joshua and said to him, do not have all the people go up, but about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole people toil up there, for they are few. The people in Ai are few. So about 3,000 men went there of the people, and they fled before the men of Ai. The men of Ai killed 36 of their men. That's not bad out of 3,000. But it was very evident to them God wasn't for them at this point. They're fleeing. The men of Ai killed about 36 of their men and chased them before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them at the descent. And the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth. on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, and he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to give us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would that we had been content to dwell beyond the Jordan." Remember, 2.5 tribes stayed on the other side because it was better for the cattle. But they did agree that they would go with Israel into the land, and they would fight. They would leave their children and the cattle and their spouses on the other side. They would leave them with some protection, but they would not abandon the other 9.5 tribes. They would go with them until the land was occupied, and then they would settle on the east side of the Jordan. "O Lord, what can I say when Israel has turned their backs before the enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and will surround us and cut off your name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name?" The Lord said to Joshua, "Get up." Have you ever heard God say that to you? Yeah. I've heard it. I've heard, "Get up, shut up." You know, there's times you just need to get it in gear, John. The Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. Therefore, the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies." That's somewhat in line with James. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. My vision needs to be laser pointed. It can't be going all over the place. You know, they turned their backs before their enemies because they have become devoted for destruction. "I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things among you." I can't expect God to walk with me if I'm not prepared to walk with him. "Get up, consecrate the people and say, 'Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, for thus says the Lord God, they are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the devoted things from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought near by your tribes, and that the tribe the Lord takes by lot shall come near by the clans. And the clan that the Lord takes shall come near by the households, and the household that the Lord takes shall come near man by man. And he who is taken from the devoted things shall be burnt with fire, and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done an outrageous thing in Israel." There, God does not honor idolatry on my part. And this is very relevant for Christians. We need to look at this. I will remind you of the last verse of the last chapter of 1 John. "Brethren, keep yourself from idols." God wouldn't say that if there wasn't that potential in me to get snared by something. So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel near tribe by tribe, and the tribe of Judah was taken, and he brought near their clans of Judah, and the clan of Zeratites was taken, and he brought near the clan of the Zeratites a man by the name and Zabdi was taken. And he, aren't you glad you're not having to pronounce these? And he brought near the house, his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and give praise to him and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." Again, this kind of parallels in with James. "If any is sick among you, let him call for the elders. And if he has sinned, let him confess his fault one to another. And God will bring a healing." If I'm struggling with something, you know, and not every sickness by any stretch of the imagination is the result of sin. But I need to be honest before God and look at myself and be honest with him. If God's putting a finger on my life and touching something, I need to deal with it. Amen? You know, really, you know. And Achan answered Joshua, "Truly I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I did. Now, remember in the Psalms, David made the comment in the Psalms. He says, I have sinned against thee only have I sinned. All sin is ultimately against God. If I hurt Joshua, my sin is against him. But get this, it's ultimately against God. And that's what he's confessing here. He says, truly I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I did. And it cost, 36 people their lives. His rebellion, his disobedience. There's always a cost to sin. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak of Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and I took them. And see, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent and the silver underneath it. Matthew, Jesus says, you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. He was attracted to wealth. And our wealth is in the Lord. He's our provider. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent. Behold, it was hidden in his tent with the silver underneath it. And they took them out of the tent and brought them to Joshua and all the people of Israel. And they laid them down before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the cloak and the bar of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his donkeys and sheep and his tent and all that he had. And they brought them out to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why did you bring trouble upon us? The Lord brings trouble on you today. And all Israel stoned them with stones. They burned them with fire and stoned them with stones. Somewhat harsh, don't you think? The stones don't do it, the fire will, and we'll stone them again just to make sure. And they raised over him a great heap of stones that remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his burning anger. Therefore, to this day, the name of the place is called the Valley of Achor. And it means trouble. They had a great victory, and now they're experiencing a loss. And I suppose if Sam and I were to sit down and dialogue, we'd say, well, you know, 36 out of 3,000, not that bad. Hello? You know, but they didn't get Ai. Well, they do in the next chapter. But they had to deal with sin in their midst. Do you remember back when Miriam and Aaron murmured about Moses because he had a Gentile wife? And she was leprous. And she was leprous for a week. And for a week, because of one person's transgression, the camp didn't move. This is the heaviest part of this devotional. It gets lighter after this. But if I'm holding to sin that I'm not dealing with in my life, it doesn't just hold me back. It holds my family back. And it holds the congregation I fellowship with back. It's a serious thing. That's part of a time for new vision. It's a significant part of a time for new vision that I need to be able to see beyond myself. There's a verse of scripture that says, be sure your sin will find you out. Well why? Well, because, you know, you can't keep the lie straight, and you're going to mess up. That's part of it. I think the main reason that your sin will find you out is because it affects so many others that God wants to expose it, that you deal with it. And that's part of new vision. You know, what wasn't an issue to me years ago after becoming a Christian, the more I walked with the Lord, the more certain things I felt like I needed to put away. You know? If I were to name them, some of you might feel guilty, you know, but it was for me. Not for anybody else here. If God puts a finger on something in my life, he says, I want you to deal with it, that doesn't mean I go to Mark and say, hey, listen, God told me I got to clean this up in my life, you better do it too. But that's not how it works. You know? He puts his finger on something in my life that I would deal with it. And as I deal with it, there will be release in the family, and there will be release in the fellowship that I'm connected to. Are you tracking with me this morning? No. And sometimes we get into trouble as Christians that what we think God is saying to us personally, we feel it's got to be given to everybody. And they're not at that place yet. I think I asked for forgiveness from Sam here some time ago. But over a year ago, you contacted me and you said, you probably aren't even aware that I smoke. But I feel God saying that I should put it away. And we entered into just an accountability. And you've been free for over a year now. You know? Now, if you smoke, that's not Sam's issue. That's your issue, and God will deal with you. God, are you trying me? God dealt with him. I never preached at him about it. I don't think I've ever mentioned smoking. Who am I to talk? I can't find it in Scripture. But I can find in Scripture, if a man be given a gluttony, let him put a knife to his throat. I haven't done that yet. Hello? Because God's speaking something to you, you deal with it. Don't make it mandatory for everyone. And I've seen that happen. That's when that begins to happen, we generally regard that as legalism. You know? It's kind of like Cheryl was our firstborn, still is. we've never tried to replace her. I don't know why I was using past tense there. But you know, every parent that's had more than one kid, you know, the first one is, you know, you're ready to write them off because it's an experiment. You know, you don't know what to do with them. You know, we're trying to potty train her, you know, and I look something up and it says, you know, if you start at age 2, you'll have them potty trained by 3. And if you do nothing, they'll potty train themselves by 3. And that was pretty much it. That are you with me? There's a time. And it seems to happen on its own. And you know, you can fret and fume about it, but it'll work out. Hello? Hebrews 12, this is in the introduction, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by... Well, that's not the introduction. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses... Listen, they're not witnessing against you. They're witnessing for you, saying, this is where we've been. You're going to be there too. Okay? Since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also, like they did, lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Looking to Jesus. That has got to be my laser vision. 24/7. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He's in the position of all authority. And that matches in with Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore. But when I focus on him, there's a divine enabling that begins to take place. The next reference we have is Isaiah 50. And you can read verses 1 through 11, get the whole context, but the one I want to focus on is verse 10. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Actually, just go to Isaiah 50 for just a second. What God is showing you, you need to hold to. Especially when trouble comes. I'm going to back up to verse 7. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. The Lord is with you. He's ever present with you. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Question. Not God. Okay. Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them who wear out like a garment, the moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? You pick great songs. You know, as for me. Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. You might feel like you're in a dark place right now. Don't resort to the next verse. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, walk by the light of your fire. And I've done that. I've resorted to walking by my own fire, and I fall. And by the torches that you have kindled. This you have from my hand, you shall lie down in torment. Darkness comes to all of us at some point. If you haven't been in darkness, or if you're not now in darkness, good news, you will be before long. Because it's in darkness that I learn to rely on the Lord. And when I'm in that dark place, I must not fall to the temptation to find my own light and find my way out. I need to trust what God showed me in the light and hold to it in the darkness, and he'll bring me through. And when I resort to my own, then I lay down in torment. Jericho was their victory. And what a crazy way to do war. Why march around a city once a day for 6 days, and the seventh day, seven times, and then shout, That strategy worked for them because it was God anointed. It won't work for the Ukrainians because that's not what God told them. I can't take a word of God given to a specific person and then try to make it work for me. What I need to do is wait on the Lord, and God will give me a word for me. But while I'm waiting, I must not resort to trying to light my own fire to see where I'm going. Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I need to trust that. And when I'm in that dark place, then I can navigate because I'm holding what he showed me in the light. Now, doing that requires a couple things on my part. One is remembering past victories. For Israel, they called and God heard them in Exodus 3, 7 to 10. The only thing that confuses me about that, Tim, is why did it take them 400 years to call? I'm persuaded in my soul, I can't prove it from Scripture, but I'm persuaded in my soul that if they called earlier, God would have answered sooner. But they didn't. They obeyed God at the Passover. And if they didn't, they died. They obeyed God at the Red Sea. You'd have to have faith to take your family and march into a sea with walls of water on both sides of you. I'd be nervous. They obeyed at Jericho. How many here are couch coaches? You're watching the hockey game. Or football, I talked to Kim on the phone this morning as I was coming here, and she and Malachi are down in Everett, and he's got baseball tournaments, and she's telling me, and she wasn't being critical of anyone. She's this kid's really good. I said, so have you ever thought about coaching? She says, no, Dad. she's active. She's in it. But, There's times I'm watching a sports event, you know, and you're wondering why they're doing what they're doing, and you're being critical. I'm sure that there had to be people marching around Jericho for 6 days that were saying, like, think this is going to work? Shh, we're not supposed to talk. Sorry. Do you think this is going to work? I mean, really? Jordy, this is stupid. We're just walking around, you know? On top of it, today's the Sabbath. We're not supposed to be walking. Because they did 7 days in a row. I'm sure there had to be some discontent going and some doubt going. But they held to the word of God. And then they were marching around on the seventh day seven times. Like, oh yeah. And then the trumpet sounded and they screamed. Much to their amazement, the walls fell down. What does that do to your courage? Hi-ho, hi-ho, let's go! We got them. You know, remember your victories and remember those in your life. Remember when you thought you were at a dead end, when you were in a dark place, but God made a way. God is good. All the time. And all the time, God is good. For the Christ follower, we need to remember Christ's completed work on the cross, John 19:30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. He achieved something for me that I still like some of these old choruses. You know, I like them all. But some stick in my mind. You know, I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. You know, my sins were all washed away. Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? There's power in the blood. I need to hold on to those things. They are sacred, divine truths. Get this, the devil had no idea what was going on. 1 Corinthians 2:7-8, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God. It hadn't been revealed yet, but that's part of the new covenant. It's being opened up. It's being revealed. God declared before the ages for your glory. None of the rulers of this age. Now listen, he's not talking about the Sanhedrin. He's not talking about the Pharisees or the Sadducees or Herod. He's not talking about Pilate. He's not talking about Caesar. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. Amen? He's talking about those forces that overrule and intervene and influence and coerce the natural person. None of the rulers of this age understood this. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. No? Where you're at today, you might be in confusion, but God's not. He's got a clear understanding. And as you lean on him, he will give you vision through it. Amen? Believers have been made alive, Colossians 2:13-15. And you were dead in your trespasses and your uncircumcision, your flesh. What that's referring to is you hadn't entered into a covenant position. Okay? God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. 14. Is it not there? There it is. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. It's not a matter that they were put aside, you know. He set them aside, nailing to the cross. It's not like he hid them. He put them on the cross and he said, paid in full. Won't be brought up again. Why? Because it was paid in full. My wife got an email the other day saying that we owed X number of dollars. I had told her Wednesday I'd gone down and I'd paid her accounts. The account number wasn't the same. The balance wasn't the same. It was a scam. You know, the adversary wants to come in and scam you, saying, you've got to deal with it. You know, it's on the cross. And it's marked paid in full. 15. For he disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Now listen, the Roman soldiers still had their armor. What's he talking about? He's talking about the spiritual forces of wickedness that come against us. If God be for you, who can be against you? Amen? We don't understand that. This he set aside, kneeling to the cross, disarming them. Now, not only am I to remember my victories, I need to remember my failures. For Israel, this is point, major point two now, for Israel, keep going. Nadab and Abihu, worshiping their own. Remember, these are two of the sons of Aaron. And they presented what the scripture says is strange fire. They presented fire before God. The fire that God wanted them to present was the fire that he had started. This was their own making. This is like trying to make a light in the darkness so you can walk by it. It doesn't work. Okay? And God smote them. And he, God says, don't you even mourn for them. I don't remember I showed you a thing I found on Facebook. It had this monkey with a stick sneaking up on a lion. And he was going to hit the lion. The caption was, we ask God for help sometimes, failing to realize that we've done something stupid. Hello? That's me. Been there. Done that. You know? And when we do something, God helps us, but there's things that we need to put right in it. Amen? I don't know what that monkey was going to do to put right with that lion. I just thought it was funny. Keep going. The 10 spies, they go in and they spy out the land for 40 days. The 12 of them, 10 come back and they give what is called an evil report. Was it accurate to the situation? Yeah, it was accurate. Why was it evil? Because it lacked faith. I can look at a situation in my darkness and I can say there's no hope. And in the natural, the way it's stacked, it looks that way. But what's lacking? Faith. And you go to Hebrews 11 and it says, what is that, verse 6? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You go to, what is it, Romans 13, or no, 14 I think it is. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Folks, what I'm trying to get to you is this whole thing is interwoven. You can't pull one thread and think it stands independent. It's interwoven, though, the whole thing. You know? Vain attempt, you know? The 10 spies say, no, we can't take the land. And Moses says, okay, God told me that for every day we're in there spying out the land, we're going to spend a year in the wilderness. They'd already spent a year and a half. Now they're going to spend another 38 and a half years, 40 years, and we'll all die off. Then the new generation walk in, and they say the next morning, okay, this isn't a good deal. Let's go in and take the land. And Moses says, don't do it. God's not going with you. And they tried, and something like 14,000 died. You know, when God says no to me, don't, John, try to make it work. You heard that old line, if God shuts the door, he'll open a window. I don't believe that. If God shuts the door, he wants me to stay where I am, not look for a way of escape. And he'll open a door at the right time. You know? And I have spent time trying to climb out of a window. It's not comfortable. Doesn't work. Korah's rebellion. This is 250 princes that were noble within Israel. You know? And they come to Moses and Aaron and they say, like, who do you guys think you are? The whole of us are holy. God speaks to us all. I find this one really humorous. And Moses says, okay, if that's true, let it be. If it's not true, let God do something unique that's never been done before. Let him open up the earth and swallow you up. 250 princes and their families and all their possessions got swallowed up. You know what they do the next day? They complain. They say, Moses did this.
Duh.
If he did, I'm not saying it. At least the earth opened. You know? He says, okay. He says, okay, you bring your staffs and we'll plant, and the staff that buds, that's who God speaks through. But in that rebellion, like 14,000 died in addition to the 250, you know. And the next day, it's Aaron's rod that is budded, full leaf, with almonds, ripe, overnight. And the others were just dead sticks, you know. I've been in that place where I was nothing more than a dead stick. We need to remember our victories, but listen, don't forget your failures, at least you repeat them. You know? And they didn't. You know? The Christ follower. Here's us. Remember our failures. It is, you know. For people like Lynn and Carol, this has got to be a little harder because Lynn was quite young. Carol, do you remember how old you were when you accepted Christ? I mean, your folks were missionaries in Burkina. I write in the front of my Bibles, you know, when I accepted Christ, when I was born again. But you know, and you were a child. You were saved from a lot of stuff that I entered into. The transgressions that I got into, you never did. You know? Hello? Are you with me? But does that mean she was more worthy of salvation than the rest of us? No. We need to remember Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, regardless of your history, regardless how old you were when you came to Christ, in which you once walked, following the prince of the power of the air. I mean, this is that spiritual warfare again. The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all, I don't care if you came to Christ at age 5, you need to add to your understanding that you were dead. That if you hadn't accepted Christ at that age, you would have entered into many of the things that many of us did. Praise God, you didn't have to be delivered from them. Your testimony is greater than my testimony, Carol. Really is. There's a whole mess of stuff you didn't have to be delivered from. Well, I accepted Christ, there was a number of things. I had one coworker say to me, and he knew enough about Christianity, you know, he says, so you become a Christian? I said, yeah, can I have? He says, can I ask you, are you giving 10% to the church? As a matter of fact, I am. He says, how can you afford to do that? I says, because I quit drinking. I'm up 5%. I calculated it out. My boost tab was over 15% of my salary. I was up 5%. You know, when you get rid of this, you know, if you figured out how much money you saved not smoking, you know, Cheech and Chong, up in smoke. It was gone. You know, you didn't have to get delivered from that kind of stuff. You know, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. I need to remember that. You know, when I look at a Christian who's struggling, I got to remember, me too. Hello? Next. Isaiah 64, 6 and 7. And we have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. Verse 7. There is none who calls upon the name of the Lord who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. I need to remember that there's none that doeth good, no, not one. That's Romans 3, but he's quoting the Old Testament. He says, there's none that seeketh after God, no, not one. Oh, I got involved in Eastern philosophies and transcendental meditation, and I used the excuse I was looking for God. But the truth of the Word of God is, I wasn't. I was doing my own thing, looking to build myself up. There's none that seeketh after God. No, not one. That was me. And I'm here, not because I sought God, but God sought me. And he got through to me. And he gives me, in that new birth, he gives me a new heart and a new spirit and a new mind. Never had that before. I need to remember that. And that, then I can be a little easier on people that are messing up. You know? But for the grace of God, there go I. And if you try to find that in the Bible, you won't. That was Sir Arthur Conan Doyle in Sherlock Holmes. But for the grace of God, there go I. But it's accurate. Okay. Now, what is to be our laser focus? And different times in our life, different situations happen. Different things take place. The Taylors are entering into a new phase. You know, Landon, you've completed year one. How many more? Three, four. And then they're not sure where he might end up vocationally. And it's going to be, it's been fun having him around all these years, isn't it? You know? I asked Landon this morning, I said, are you going to miss your folks? He said, I will really miss Mom. he didn't say that. I didn't ask him. I was just picking up on his, you know. But what happens from there? You know? Like, Tim looked at me, he says, the fact that you and I at our ages continue to work is probably the best thing for us. You know, I don't know where I'd be if I was sitting at home 12 hours a day. Probably dead. My wife would probably kill me. You know. He's there all the time. You know? But there are different seasons in our life. I went over to Kendrick this morning and whispered in his ear. I said, "Do you graduate this year?" He says, "No, next year." So you got a change coming too. Eh? It was one thing to have one move up, but you know, and. Now what's the leading of the Lord? Different times, different situations. And God's got something to say in it. Amen? Now flip over to the New Testament, the book of Philippians, chapter 3. We're going to walk through this real quickly. Because it's so straightforward. Notice, Achan's sin was taking that which was unclean, taking the wealth of a people and putting his trust in wealth rather than in God, hiding his sin, thinking it only affected him, not realizing that our sin has, you know, much wider influence than we could ever imagine. It's like throwing a rock into a lake. You get those circles that emanate out from the point of entry. His vision was not set on the promise of God. His hope was in the treasures he took. Paul's example to us as followers of Christ begins in verse 1, and I failed to edit properly. It should go to verse 17. It does in the notes. I want you to notice the loss. We're going to read the first 8 verses. Finally, my brothers, I like Paul because he says finally, then he goes on for another 20 minutes. Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is not trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Although myself I have reason for confidence in the flesh. Also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, this is the loved son, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law of Pharisee, as to zeal, persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. He says, according to the letter, I was without fault, but he was still spiritually dead. He's the one that wrote Ephesians 2, having been dead in our trespasses and sins. Okay? Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For this sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. John, have no confidence in the flesh. Whatever you think your family pedigree is, write it off. Whatever you think your religious pedigree is, write it off. That's only an outward working. It is not the reality of the depth of the knowledge and the wisdom that abides in Christ Jesus that now resides in you. There are things that you need to let go of, John. He says, I count all these things as loss. The things that I might value, God says, if you want to really lay hold of me, you need to let it go. I am being challenged to the depth right now. In my Bible reading, I'm also reading through The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he talks about the difference between cheap grace and costly grace. And if I want to experience the fullness and the present power of Christ in my life, there's a whole mess of stuff that I need to just let go of and count it as done. Count it as refuse. Count it as loss. And get rid of it. You know? The goal, starting in verse 9, going through to 14. Remember verse 8. He says, in order that I may gain Christ, verse 9, and be found in him. Now, that's not talking about salvation. Paul is saved. He's talking about my current, right this moment, relationship. You know? I don't know if this happens to anybody else. When you're at work or you're doing something, do you feel like you're all alone? Or, John, do you feel the presence of the holy, majestic, resurrected one right with you? No? Not always. Not always. That I might be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own. Not lighting my own fires. That comes from the law. But that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. Do I believe? Do I really believe? I know some here today are in a tough boat. And I want to declare to you on the assurance of the Word of God, if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not in the boat alone. And if you feel like the boat's in the middle of the storm, don't you marvel at that one account where Jesus is in the boat with them and the storm comes up, and what's he doing? Sleeping. What's up with you? Come on, man. Can't you see we're about to perish? Have you ever felt like that? I'm going to perish. Yeah, Jesus is doing nada, nothing, zippo. To the point that you feel like he's sleeping. Do you know why he's sleeping? Because it's all under control. Guess who's not sleeping? Yeah. I'm watching the markets, not closely. don't. Because you got to believe. Amen? Yeah. There's times I feel like I'm hiding the silver underneath the mats in the tent. You know? Hello? You know? Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. We talk about praying for healing, and I'm for all those things. I do all those things. But the most important prayer I should be praying is that I would know him and the power of his resurrected life penetrating through mine. Right now. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it will quicken your mortal body. Romans 8. I need that. I need to know that resurrected power. I don't like the rest of the verse. And may share his sufferings. Don't you want to take a black marker and erase that one? That I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Amen, period, hallelujah, let's go on. No, wait a minute. And may share his sufferings and become like him in death. How many are claiming that portion of the verse? Yeah. That by any means possible, I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead. Is this talking about salvation? Is this talking about when the trumpet blows and the graves are open? This is talking about John today. That I would move out of the deadness that I tend to walk in and move into the resurrected power of Christ right now. You know, that I would, you know, what does it mean to take up your cross and follow him? Cross is simply an instrument of death. Am I dying to self and walking in his power? And again, just the last couple of days, the last 2 days in particular, reading Bonhoeffer's book, you know, man, just challenge. Would I be able to lay some on us and just walk with the Master? That's got to be my focus, to walk with him. You know? The goal, to know him and the power of his resurrection, verse 12, but I press on to make it my own because Jesus has made me his own. Okay? That I might know him in the power of his resurrection, verse 10, may share in his sufferings, become like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection and death. Not that I have already obtained this, nor am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. What a powerful. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. He doesn't say, oh, you sinner. No, he says, no, God will reveal it to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eye on those who walk according to the example you have in us. John, get your eyes on the Master. There's so many temptations in the flesh to go other ways. But we need to simply get our eyes on Jesus. That's the summation of it all. The new vision that Jesus wants to give you for where you are at right now in your life is simply that you would behold more of him. And how long you will stand in the darkness, I don't know. But God will bring you through. Amen? I put the wrong number. I'm going to read a hymn. I got it as 367. Both are valid. 367 is where he leads, I'll go. But I wanted to read All for Jesus, which is 368. Apparently, I didn't check that when I edited it either. All for Jesus. All for Jesus. All my being's ransom powers. all my thoughts and words and doings, all my days and my hours, all for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my days and all my hours, all for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my days and all my hours. That's not true of me. It's not, there's times in the day, it's very true, but it's not all my days and all my hours, you know. Let my hands perform his bidding. Let my feet run in his ways. Let my eyes see Jesus only. Let my my lips speak forth his praise. You know, and then it repeats. Let my lips speak forth his praise. Stanza 3. Since my eyes were fixed on Jesus, I've lost sight of all besides. So enchained my spirit's vision, looking at the crucified. And it repeats, looking at the crucified. The last stanza. Oh, what wonder. How amazing. Jesus, glorious King of Kings, designs to call me his beloved. Let me rest beneath his wings. Let me rest beneath his wings. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, resting now beneath his wings. Beloved, wherever you are at this morning, whatever situations you see or whatever situations you anticipate, I encourage you, remember your past victories. Remember the times you picked up the stick and hit the lion. Make corrections. And make, as Paul said, one thing. I count all things as loss, and I have one thing. That I would press on to the prize of the goal of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Reminds me of, Psalm 24 or 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his tabernacle. Reminds me of Jesus' words to the disciples in Matthew 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. And John, when you feel like you're standing in that dark place, don't try to light your own fires to lead your way out. If you feel like I've shut the door, John, don't you try to pry a window open. You remain. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. And where do you learn to wait? In that dark spot. That dark spot where you can do nothing but wait. And as you're waiting, reflect on the victories. Remember your foolish defeats. And ask yourself, what is the one thing I desire? I count all this as done, that I might attain unto the power of the resurrection. I press on towards the goal of the prize, the high calling in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Josh, you ready to put a cap on this?